Can you teach tomorrow morning, tomorrow and maybe Monday and Tuesday?
Oh, you're gonna be sick.
I'm going to Tulsa.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right.
You sure bounced back this morning. I was expecting you to stay in bed.
No, I woke up about 3 and everything was all goody. And I went back to sleep for an hour or so, and then I feel great today. I was really bad yesterday. It's one of those days when everything hurt.
I think you have a
what do you call them? Boo-boos. All my boo-boos were hurting at once.
I'm convinced you have a master reset button somewhere. The way you bounce back is...
All right. Let's go to Luke 12, verse 8. We started, I think we got to one word yesterday. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Confess is homologio.
I was talking with, are we in Luke?
12 verse 8. What does it mean to say the same thing?
Beyond words.
Right. It's being.
To be.
Again, the issue is you do not deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. And so by confession, the only confession, if you confess him before men, then he's your only life. There is no other. Everything else is apostasy. You don't fear what they fear. You don't love what they love. You don't want what they want. You don't esteem what they esteem. The world's been crucified unto you and you unto the world. That means there's nothing in the world that you want. And there's nothing in you that the world wants.
You can't do it on purpose. You can't hear that and say, that's how I'm going to be. I'm not going to want that.
Again, it comes to the understanding of the emptiness, the puff of smoke, the blade of grass that's dying. I mean, if you see the human race as something else, then you can't do this.
It's funny to say that. The world wants nothing that I ever offer, as you just said, or there's nothing.
Right. The world doesn't want you, and you don't want the world.
And I've met a lot of people in my life who I thought I impacted, and there were friendships, and there was depth, and there was meat on the bone with a relationship. And I look at so many that just left, and even a couple folks I've met here.
That's why toxic loneliness is the lot of mankind. You walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. And fellowship is far greater than friendship. I mean, it's nothing can interrupt it. It's a different world. It's a different reality. It has nothing to do with this reality that we see with our senses. In any age, at any time. That's why time, the understanding of time is so critical. We've redeemed the time, for the days are evil. The days are of the evil one. That was a given, but I'm glad you confessed it anyway.
Please proceed.
We thought you were special. And you know, was
city on top of it. You know, if we're thinking more than a puff of smoke, I mean, look, that city thriving one day and completely gone the next.
But the whole idea, you can't, this comes only by seeing this comes by seeing what John the Baptist was told to cry. What shall I say? All flesh is as grass, and the glory of flesh is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. I mean, that's, if you can't confess that, then you won't hear anything. You think you do.
Talk about redeeming the time.
Well, you redeem the time by not giving it any breath. The only time you give it breath is when you're meeting need.
But that's not redemption.
It's what redemption is. It's, remember, redemption is making sure there's no pepper in the salt shaker. So everything that you can possibly think about, the cross comes against, and redeeming the time comes against. That's why the idea of trying to understand the mystery of God by using your mind is ludicrous.
Somewhere I hear and there, you redeem time by seeing what it has led you to, or the value of time is not that you are enhanced, but you see it and you are in sackcloth and ashes or something of that sort. And so the value of time then is seen as just the medium by which you see. You are brought to understanding that how time is redeemed.
Let's go to Job. Chapter 42.
Always fun to go to Job.
Job 42? I think. Yeah. Well, all of chapter 41 is God proclaiming His majesty. I mean, let's just start in verse 28 because it's the first one on my page here. In Job 41, I mean. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him unto stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laughed at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon the earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. That's the beginning. That's where born again comes. That's where salvation starts. Otherwise, it's just a philosophy. And that, then, the only thing that can happen is, God, if you're real, I don't even know if you're real or not, but if you're real, I want you, and I don't care what it costs. That's when time is redeemed. Time is redeemed when your repentance is complete. Now, the preaching of the cross doesn't produce instant repentance for everybody, but it produces repentance as its end. You can't hear the cross without coming finally to the end of yourself and seeing there are no more, well, if I do this, then I'll be okay. What?
That's confessing the Lord right there. You're seeing the same thing.
You see your death.
Yeah.
And if the resurrection isn't here, then all is lost. That's why he spoke. Let's go to 2 Timothy.
What does hoary mean? Hoary, think the deep to be hoary.
Well, it makes them act like a whore. I don't know.
Like a
whore.
Huh? Gray hair?
Yeah, it means it doesn't. I don't know if it means gray hair, but it means a lot of hair.
It means old hair.
Old hair. Oh, okay. I thought you said gray hair. Because you pointed it yourself.
I did say gray hair. That's what it means. It's old hair, exemplified by being gray.
But if you're old and
you're right, I'm wrong.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, then why are you arguing with me?
I'm just having fun.
No, you're not.
I heard of a term. Hoary frost.
That's frost that looks like gray hair.
Wait, where are we going?
We're going to 2 Timothy. Frost. No, John is right. It's gray hair.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
But is it gray hair with a good span or gray hair with a bad span? Old gray hair, you don't know squat.
It's being old and dumb as a rock.
Oh, God.
Second Timothy.
Let's move on. Oh, Timothy, where are you?
Oh, I'm after Thessalonians. That one or two.
Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Starting verse 11. It is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live by him. That's what it really says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved. Now remember, the word study there was, it's really parastemi, and it means to present yourself the living sacrifice.
It means what?
To make haste to present is one of the meanings in the Strong's, anyway.
Yeah, it's present yourself a living sacrifice, the same as in, it's used in Romans 12. It's make haste to present yourself. Don't hold anything back.
And that's study.
That's how they translate it, is study.
Pretty good.
And the dokimo is tried as metal.
Right. All right. Where are we? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Approved means you've been fully tested. You've been put through all of the tests. You're fully tested, and you present yourself the sacrifice at all times, never taking a stand about anything in time and space. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Once they say the resurrection is past already, then time is permitted. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And remember, I say again, spirit is something without a body. It's a word and a thought from yourself or from others. Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
So they are tried against what we just read.
What?
The spirits are tried.
Right. So if you have any idea or any thought or any position or any stand, then you're not yet tried. The truth has always been there. But you resisted the trying of it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they're of God. And again, the test is, it's the test of truth. If something changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not truth, therefore it's not being worthy of being given breath to. And that's all worship means, is to give breath to. It's not a religious word, it's a common word. You give it importance. That's why it's sad to see how many people worship money, because they give it importance. Or you worship a thousand things. So the spirit, you haven't yet tried those. But let's listen. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It's the same as what we just read.
Yeah.
Is come. The resurrection is not past already. Is come.
Well, this is combining a whole lot here. The resurrection, the crucifixion.
And everything. So if you have any thought or any speech that doesn't meet that test, then you haven't redeemed the time. And you still think that the days aren't evil. Right?
Thought or speech are a way of being.
Well, you can't be without thinking about it.
I know. I just carried it out.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The Antichrist will confess he did come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come in the flesh. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know, or know we, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It becomes as simple as breathing. God, I can't, I mean, you mean I say that, but I remember when I was, this was the takeaway, if you will, from my conversion experience. The basic was I could never again do anything to help myself. Well, what does that mean? It means that the I motive has to be gone from life. Now, I screw up all the time. But basically and fundamentally, my life is only him. But the evil one resurrects himself periodically, and I say, oh, shit.
So the Christ in you and other people are the only sources of help for you?
No, God's the only source of help. God the Father is certainly different from Christ.
Well, I thought Christ liveth in us.
Well, he does, but it's still, you don't pray to Christ, you pray to God the Father. There's no example in anywhere prayed to Christ. You pray to the Father. What are you doing, Gary?
Well, the first part of 4:3 is huge because...
I don't know.
And it says, "In every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God." And you know that it's big because it's your flesh that He's come in.
Right.
So confessing that really puts you in another universe.
That's the only universe that's what we've been talking about for 40 years.
That's everything we talk about forever. Is that the way your life unfolds? Is that what you say? Is that
right? It's been your speech.
Yeah. Have you crossed the threshold of believing this outside the room?
Right. Because every speech, every word, every thought is seasoned with salt. Everything you think and say has the component of eternity. Everything you speak only as from the oracle of God under the wings of the cherubim. You speak from eternity, you think from eternity, you act from eternity.
And at the same time, none of it's you, and yet it is you.
Well, that's no longer I.
That's part of that mystery. Yeah, it's no longer I that live, but
Christ liveth in me.
Yeah, so now do you, at that point, really believe that every thought, every this, every that is of him?
Well, no, and not every thought I have is of him. No, it just judged itself. It doesn't have the component of eternity.
Well, this goes back to the first part of why they ate the apple, the pomegranate, paradise apple. They wanted to be the judge of what's good and what's evil, and we still do.
No, the word is the judge. It doesn't have, if I have there's a thousand thoughts that try to come, I ignore them. But if I give breath to those thoughts that do not have the component of eternity, then I'm just like every other Gentile. I buried this son of a bitch. He's dead and buried. In baptism.
And yet he still jumps up every once in a while.
When I let him. Right.
You mean when you give...
When I give breath to anything in time and space, then that's giving the Antichrist life. Now who's the one? Who's the test? What's going on? Well, it doesn't matter. It's an is. But if I say, okay, now all my thoughts are sanctified, well, then you just become one of these other idiots that run around and say, oh, I'm talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, and God told me, and because they say their thoughts are sanctified. No, they're not. The thoughts, the mind is dead. There's only now. Thankfully, the tendency to, you mean this, it's not negotiable. It's not, there's, you know, we can go through every scripture in the Bible which testifies of this. We can go back to Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah testifying of this. There's one thing: our death is life. Go back to Cain and Abel. Go back to Jacob and Esau, every one of them. Our death, his life. But we can't have, it can't be partial. To redeem means there's no more time in your thoughts. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Go to Ephesians. I can't find it.
Can we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11?
How did you get there? Just had Ecclesiastes, isn't it?
I've been there for quite a while. Page 719.
Verse 11 of chapter 9.
Yes.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not unto the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all.
Time and chance happeneth to them all.
Until repentance.
Doesn't say until repentance. That's understood?
No, that's what the New Testament's about.
That's not what this says.
Well, it says, but it goes on to say that everything is vanity. That's not one scripture out of the whole book of...
Time and chance happeneth to them all.
Right. That doesn't continue to happen. Your death stops it because the time has been redeemed. That's what the New Testament is about. What? You're giving me that no way look. What's going on?
I get frustrated when there are nuances or add-ons or innuendos that seem to affect the what I'm reading. It's not what I'm not. It's not really what it says. What it really means is.
No, you can't take any. The whole look at Ecclesiastes 1. What does it say? The first thing it says. And then this is the predicate. Everything is vanity.
Time and chance happen to them all.
Right.
We're subjected to time.
I tell you, then tell the time is redeemed.
And just look at the next verse. Man knoweth not his time. And the implication there is that we don't know when we're going to die.
I didn't say that. But we're subject to it.
We don't know when we're going to die.
No, but we're subject to it. It's going to happen.
Okay, but do you understand that all of those things, you could take a million, you're subject to it until your death.
I don't want to tear apart one scripture. I don't want to do that. But I have a difficult time making it make sense when it's like grabbing the slippery rope.
Go back to Ecclesiastes 3 then. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to speak silence and a time to speak, keep silence, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profiteth hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. And again, that word exercise means humbled, brought to zero. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised therein it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And he also set the world in their heart so that no man can find the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Oh. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. You can't read one scripture out of Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
I mean, you can't say okay, but I want you to argue with me if you don't.
No, I think you can't read one scripture out of any part of it. I think
that's why we spent years on going just about every scripture in the Bible to show that it says the same thing.
It says everything and it says nothing. I mean, it says everything and it says it doesn't matter what it says because it doesn't mean anything anyway. That's what it says. That's what it says to me. It's vanity. It's, am I right? I'm not trying to be difficult.
I mean, are you saying the Bible is vanity?
I'm saying Ecclesiastes says that our life is vanity.
Right.
The Bible is vanity?
Well, I thought that's what you said when you read it. It's all vanity anyway.
Well, maybe I did. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Vanity,
vanity here means a puff of smoke. That's what vain means in the Bible.
Well, how far back do you want to take this? I don't want to argue with you. How far back do you want to take this?
To the beginning. Look it back to Adam and Eve.
Wait a minute, I'm still thinking about whether the Bible is vanity. And I think it might be.
Well, If it points to anything other than Jesus Christ, it is. He alone has immortality.
It's not the only thing that points to Jesus Christ.
Well, it's the most pristine thing.
It's not the only thing.
Well, of course not. Everything does.
So this is why it becomes very Zen, doesn't it?
No, it becomes to a place where you must test your thoughts.
It's the most pristine
revelation of the mystery of God. Hebrews says there are in many ways and many separate revelations a portion of the truth has been revealed to all men. But now the fullness of the truth is revealed in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The stars all pointed to Jesus Christ, the Maseroth, the meaning of the signs of the zodiac. If you have eyes to see, every tree, every blade of grass points to him.
So you don't need the Bible to find
him? Of course not. Wherever wherever he was, when he came to the end of himself, there he is.
If that makes the Bible vanity, then it is vanity. That seems harsh. I don't want to say that. Seem pretty
stark, but
I don't know.
Words, you're in some kind of weird place.
I am in a very weird place.
This makes me think of a scripture that in the end, all things pass away. All knowledge, all whatever, the only thing that remains is love.
And the only love is the person of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Change is not. Everything points to the Son. But, you know, if it's hidden from you for a while, that's fine. But it's important to do what you just did. Again, all of us, our unbelief is just as important as belief, because doubt is the only thing that leads to truth.
Yeah, because that soliloquy, brings you back to something you used to say: are you worshiping the book?
Right.
And the majestic words, or are you worshiping the person of which the book?
Well, remember in a speech before a Bible college, I took the Bible and set it on fire. Because it's not the Word of God in terms of Jesus Christ is the Word. This is words about the Word, but they're the most clear words about the Word that I've ever seen written. If you have any understanding, you can read the Quran and see Jesus Christ all over it. You can read all of the books on Zen and Buddhism and all the yogas, and you see Jesus Christ.
Because a portion of the truth.
A portion of the truth is been revealed to all men, but now the fullness of the truth is revealed in the Son.
None of those disciplines had Jesus Christ or a Savior in there.
No, but they all saw portions of it. But then they all of that faded away, just as the Bible fades away in terms of any importance other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the law is what brings us to Him. Because the law is what is the law is the power of sin. All right. Take a big breath.